Welcome to a new edition of Gay Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We are entering the All-Star break.
Bye week?
I guess. Yeah.
Vacation time?
Vacation. Their 10-day break.
It's a 10-day, yeah.
Wrapping up at home the other night versus San Jose. And we've got a lot to talk about in our guest this week. Super excited about this. We've been trying to get him on for a while. Nigel Kerwin, the video coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's been with the team forever. You've probably seen him around town. He's just a good dude and knows a lot about this team. So can't wait to pick his brain and find out like what a normal game day is for a video coach, and or is most of his work done on non-game days, you know?
Yeah, it's a great... And is it all night? Is it kind of like an overnight type job?
Right.
Where you're working all night long?
Yeah. And he has some really great insight, I'm sure, to this team comparatively to other teams that the Lightning have had. You know, the Stanley Cup run, he was with the team. Mm-hmm. So it's a really great perspective. Can't wait to talk to him. But let's dive into the week that was a little bit. The Toronto Maple Leafs game on Thursday was frustrating for me, but Toronto is a very good team.
This year.
I still feel like the Tampa Bay Lightning are a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was Vassie may be struggling a bit tonight. Normally he's like lights out, amazing, like nothing to worry about. But when maybe, it's not all his fault either, you know, some deflections, some screens. But when that happens, hey guys, pick up the pace a little bit. And it wasn't that they weren't scoring, because I didn't look up time of possession for the Lightning. It felt like the entire third period they had the puck. But I felt we came out a little sluggish. And it's just one of those things that we've said over and over again this season. When teams come into our building, expect everything in the kitchen sink being thrown at you because they want to beat you, especially the team that's behind you in the standings. And, you know, they had some stuff that they had to worry about, too. If they had lost that game and Boston was playing the same night, Boston would have leapfrogged them in the standings. So they don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they might be, 10 points, whatever, behind the Lightning, but they don't want to be leapfrogged.
Yeah,
so
sure.
They're going to come out at you with everything. And I know they've done it a lot this season, but I expect to see them match that intensity. I felt it took them a little bit to get there. There was some goal, you know. And then at the end of the period, or at the end of the game,
mm-hmm.
the whole non-call on delay of game.
That was really weird.
The divider or the mic.
It looks like it hit something. If you go back and watch in slow motion, the NHL's replay of it, it does look like there's some kind of debris
that breaks off.
That's on the ice.
Right.
That one of the first Lightning player that pointed up, mm-hmm. it's right by his left skate, if mm-hmm. you guys really want to get technical about it. And you'll see that there's something there.
Right. It wasn't called. Toronto takes the puck, gets an empty netter, game over, no chance of coming back at that point.
Right.
My contention is, whether or not it was supposed to be delay of game, you do not stop playing if you don't hear a whistle. If you hear that whistle, cool. But I felt like Toronto didn't stop, but we were so concerned with pointing and telling the ref that it was delay of game that we just stopped.
Yeah, I wonder, because our guys usually keep going, so I wonder if it wasn't that they heard it hit something, and maybe that it was something that fell the piece of debris, and it kind of startled them a little, like, I don't know.
Or maybe because there was a ref around them.
If there was.
Or a linesman or a ref, I don't remember which one, and maybe he was like, oh yeah, we'll stop, and then like the referee didn't.
It's kind of odd, because it was the entirety of the light.
They all just stopped. And I have issue with this because when I was a kid mm-hmm. and I was playing soccer that one season, because I think soccer is a horrible sport because all you do is run and I hate to run. But I was 4 and my mother put me in every sport except hockey to see which one I would enjoy. I think she knew that it was really expensive. She's like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Let's try something else.
I was 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
and I'm a perfectionist, so this has rang in my head for 30 years. There was a play, and I was, I don't know even what it's called. I was defending the goal because I was one of the bigger girls.
Okay.
And I thought it had gone out of bounds, so I just stopped. It had not gone out of bounds, and they ended up like just kicking the ball around me and scoring, and my team of girls were so mad at me.
Aww.
And my coach was so mad, and I still remember, you don't stop playing until you hear that whistle. So that was the first thing that came in my head at the end of that Toronto game, because we had so many shots at the end of that game with the man advantage when we pulled the goaltender that I was like, something's going to go in. Just something is going to go in. And then when that happened, it was just like, okay, well, and that was for nothing.
And he pulled the goalie early.
Yeah.
John Cooper did. So there was plenty of time for them to take advantage of that man advantage.
Right. And we would have gotten a penalty at that point. So maybe we would have had two man advantage. So if it had been called delay of game. So I don't know. It's just one of those things with me that it's just that I learned when I was five, you don't stop playing until the whistle blows. And, you know, you see the after game interviews with the guys. I don't know that a lot of them understood what happened, what didn't happen, but you could tell they were disappointed in themselves. So I wasn't worried about the San Jose, you know, game, them not coming out all guns blazing. But it was interesting. They kept trying the Stamkos one-timer or Cooch, you know, shooting from the point, and it was being stopped. Like, it was maddening a little bit for me. I'm like, hey, let's try something else. Because I felt that's all that we did almost in the third period. I'm like, hey, it's not working with this team. They know us. Let's try something a little different. But I felt like they just kept doing it and kept being denied and or, you know, being deflected or something. And I just they weren't doing anything else. So it was driving me a little crazy. I don't know about everybody else, but I was really amped up for that game. I felt like it was going to be like a really great game. And I was just kind of,
Yeah. Well, I will say this. Oh, gosh. And I want to say real quick about the Toronto game, if I can. Games 2 and 3, or I'm sorry, goals 2 and 3 were very un-Vesey-like.
Right.
But he saved their hiney.
Plenty of times.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then they had the, you know, the non-call kind of bonehead. They all stopped playing. I wonder if it's just like maybe an off night somehow. Well, which, it happens.
Look, they're getting ready to go on a 10-day break. Mm-hmm. They have traveled a lot since, like, Thanksgiving.
It was their 10th tired loss.
No,
that's it.
Look, I'm not angry about it. I was just... I was very disappointed. I know they can do better.
Yeah.
Even against a team that's coming out and throwing everything at them, I know they can do better. And they almost did. That was the thing that was so frustrating is that they had so many good shots, so many good looks, especially at the end of the game. And then something as boneheaded as allowing whatever happened or didn't happen.
Yeah, we don't know, really.
You know, it was just like, come on.
It's frustrating.
Wait till the whistle stops play, and then argue your point.
Okay, that and completely fair.
I don't
completely fair, but it was their 10th loss.
It was.
But the weird, strange thing to me is, so they have 10 losses in regulation and 2 overtime losses.
Right.
6 of the losses have come at home, which is strange because you think of the Lightning as a home team,
right?
But they have more losses at home. But I think it's exactly like you've been saying for a while, is people come in here with a different
mindset. They want to show them. They want to show them up.
76 points?
No, look.
Through. I mean, it's just...
It's game where I was disappointed in them, I feel like. So
it's just, it's really crazy when you think about it. Yeah. That last year we thought, wow, everybody was like, oh, the Lightning, all season long.
Yeah.
They have more points now than they did then.
Yeah.
At this point, it's just amazing.
Right.
I almost wonder if it's because we're so used to them.
Just figuring it out, figuring out a way to win, and something is My 5-year-old soccer self was like, what are you doing?
CT in kindergarten.
I can see my coach yelling at me in my face. It will stay with me forever. So, but that's why I wasn't worried about the San Jose game. Yeah. I was like, oh boy, they had a really intense practice on Friday. Mm-hmm. The only thing I was worried about is that the San Jose Sharks were actually in town the night we played Toronto. Like, they were here for a couple of days because they played in Arizona like a couple of days before, and then the next game was here in Tampa. Uh-huh. So they came down, they were here for a couple of days, and like, they're rested a little bit. I'm sure they're enjoying the sunshine, you know. That was the only thing I was a little worried about, but gosh, we came out the gate shooting and skating, and Erik Karlsson didn't end up playing the game. He was a late scratch. But Brent Burns had like 10 shots on goal in the first period and a half. It was ridiculous.
He's
but
so good.
We had some, Matthew Joseph was back in the lineup because Tyler Johnson was out with an injury. Matthew Joseph, just amazing. His line, Killorn had a goal. I actually didn't go to the game. My friend who sits next to me, oh, I'm hitting the mic again. I talk with my hands. My friend who sits next to me, her sister wanted to go. So I was like, yeah, sure. You know, okay. It wasn't as easy as, yeah, sure. I started watching this thing on Netflix called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Oh, no. It's You're one of them.
And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do it because then I'm going to start pulling everything out of my closet.
Yep.
And I'm going to be buying little bins and stuff to reorganize. Just a warning.
Don't watch it.
It took me 20 minutes into the first episode and I'm like folding all my clothes and my underwear and all this. And I already purged my closet at the beginning of the year. I do it every New Year's Eve because I don't do anything on New Year's Eve. And I purged my closet. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, okay, well, I don't have to get rid of anything because I've done that. I just need to fold and organize all of my stuff. So I was like, oh, yeah, my friend, you want to buy my ticket? Sure, here, because I can stay home and I can watch the game on TV while I'm folding my clothes. The life of a single girl in her 30s. Woo-hoo! So I watched from home, which I was kind of glad I did because I think I got to see a little bit more that angle than I would have at home.
The overhead
my seats type. My seats are great, but both teams are so fast. I feel like I would have missed a lot. Mm-hmm. It was a packed house, though. Amazing game. 5-2. I mean, we just dominated.
Yeah.
And so I have no, and you know what? I'm sure the guys were disappointed in themselves. I know, like I said earlier, they had a very intense skate in practice the day before. So they wanted to right that wrong, and they did. So they go into the break with a win, and a big win against a team. You know, we talked to Brett Hedekin last week.
Very good team.
Brett Hedekin, who's now with the Sharks, but he was, a Stanley Cup champion, a 2-time Olympian. He knows his hockey and he loves watching the Lightning. And, you know, we've kind of talked about how this could be a matchup that we might see in the postseason. So it was really, I felt like a redeeming win for them. Mm-hmm. San Jose, obviously, they're going back home and they're going to be hosting the All-Star festivities. So they've got a lot going on. But, they're still a dangerous team. You know, Logan Couture, Brett Burns.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of future Hall of Famers on that team.
Yeah.
Right now. It's
so
crazy.
It was good to see our guys come out.
Change it. Go back to kind of the Lightning we know.
Yeah. And they went off from it for maybe like a period and a half. But it was good to see that going into the break that they got that win. Pretty handed win, too.
Yeah. It was a good win. It was a good win.
So... All right, we're going to take a quick break and come back with our guest. We're so excited, Nigel Kerwin, the video coach with the Tampa Bay Lightning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hi.
We are so excited to have our guest, Nigel Kerwin, video coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Thank you so much for joining us. We've been wanting to get you on our show for quite a while.
Well, I'm happy to be here, guys. It's exciting, obviously. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you've been with the team from the inception, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I got hired shortly right before the expansion draft. Actually, probably about 3-4 weeks before the expansion draft is when I came on board the Lightning. So I'm very fortunate to stick with the organization for I don't even know how many years. I deliberately don't do the math. So don't do it in your head and let me know, because I don't know what it is and I don't want to know.
So did you just work your way up through the ranks and?
It wasn't exactly like that. So it wasn't really a career choice for me at the time. I'd come from Canada. I played hockey my whole life and obviously grew up in the sport. And, it was a situation where I'd got done school and I was, I got just a part-time job for fun working with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers while finishing up a degree. And that kind of, there was somebody at the Buccaneers who knew somebody who got hired at the Lightning because the Lightning were just starting up back then, and said, hey, do you want to interview as I was finishing up my secondary degree? And I said, you know what? Yeah, what the heck? I'll go over there and do that. So I interviewed, and obviously they became interested at the time. There weren't a lot of hockey people in Florida, so to speak.
Right.
It seemed to be a good fit. And, I was young and I knew the game, growing up in Canada, playing it, obviously. And so I got hired into the sales department doing, ticket sales and kind of marketing and trying to, really back then the company was so small that you had to wear several hats.
Mm.
And so, my main job was obviously, trying to grow the sport and get fans out and to get ticketing out in the community and obviously get people to buy season tickets and groups and, help market the team in that regard. And I did that for, 4 years. And later on, during that time, I got involved with youth hockey as well. I got approached to, help out with coaching a team. And so I started coaching a local midget hockey team. And that's not a height thing. That's an age thing. for hockey. So I started doing that, and naturally the Lightning were getting, in its inception, were getting a lot of phone calls from the small local youth hockey community, whether it was issues with coaches or parents or trying to get money or help or whatever. They were constantly reaching out to the Lightning. And so the Lightning executives always walked out of my office because they knew I was in that community, so to speak, as a coach. I go, oh, yeah, this person's trying to do this, and watch out for that, and this is the problem here. And so they ended up saying, you know what, you're now the director of amateur hockey. And they just tacked on that title to sales representative. So my business card had two titles on it at the time.
Sounds like radio.
Sales representative. And so I was kind of wearing, again, multiple hats, as a lot of us did back then when the company was so small. Now I look at the Lightning, there's, I don't even know how many employees are there. There's hundreds. Back when I started, there was maybe 30, 40 of us. At least it felt like that anyway. So That kind of transitioned into doing youth clinics for coaches. I went through USA Hockey's training program and I started certifying. Like, if you wanted to coach youth hockey back then, you had to get certified. So while you sat through one of my classes, I certified you. And there's multiple levels. And I got sick and tired of talking, being the speaker of these things all the time. So because, again, we're so small, I enlisted the help of the actual Lightning coaches, Terry Criss back then, Wayne Cashman, mm-hmm. Bobby the Chief Taylor, who was the broadcaster for us, but a former NHL goalie. I enlisted his help to come to these clinics, and that, just led to lunches afterwards or dinners where I was picking their brain about systematic stuff. And, how do you do this? How do you handle this situation? What do you do in these face-offs? What do you do here? And one day Terry Cripps came in and walked into my office and said, hey, I want you to come be my video coach. And I'm like, I don't even know what that is. I also thought I wasn't qualified. I said, I didn't play hockey at a high enough level to come. I never played pro hockey. I'm not qualified to do this. And he's like, yeah, you are. I've seen, what you've done with the napkins and all that stuff, like just drawing stuff and kind of picking my brain. Like, you can do this. Come on. And I actually thought he was joking at first and I actually threw him out of my office because I had a marketing report that was due and late. And I asked him to politely leave, and politely is a lie. But he was serious. Yeah, he was serious. Next thing you know, they walked in with a contract and offered me a job. So that's the long way of how I got to where I am today.
Well, that's amazing. I've never heard that story before. So, that's quite a journey to being with the team for as long as you have and has had so much success with this team. Can you kind of explain to us, because we always hear like they have video meetings or video reviews and guys get sent video now after games and they review it. But what role does what you do play for this team? Like, just from the outside looking in.
it's multifaceted. It encompasses a lot of different things. And you know, I do want to say we have two video coaches on the team, and the Brian Garlock, who came in with John Cooper, is also there as well, who does the same job as well. And so there's two of us that actually now do this. When I first started out years ago, it's one of us, but most teams have transitioned to two video coaches because the volume of work is kind of high. So what do we do? So most of the time, really it is what it sounds like. We're analyzing video, you know, day and literally night. So one of the things that I do is I capture the other opponent's games before we play them. So, for example, we played San Jose last night. One of our jobs is to go through and watch their last three games. Now we really intensely watch the most recent two. We call them the A game and the B game. The third game out from us is what we call the C game, and so forth. We really concentrate on watching their A and B game, the two games they played right before us. And then we really look at the special teams of the C game more than anything else. Sometimes if they're on a back-to-back, like the opponent is playing the night before they play us, so they're playing two games back-to-back, and we're the second half of that back-to-back, we'll really jump on that C game because there's not a lot of time to with the A game coming, you know. So, but for the most part, A and B games where we start, and we go through that game because the rest of the coaching staff don't have time to watch an entire hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the responsibility of Brian Garlock and myself to go through those two games and pick out the relevant pieces. What do we need? What's important? What are they doing that we need to be aware of? What are they doing that we need to deal with or have an answer for? And we kind of cut those clips out. Now, one of the things I do is I mark everything that happens. So I mark all their like D-zone coverages, all their O-zones. We mark all their neutral zone forechecks, all their face-offs. But then we got to pick out. Now, that leads to about, you know, probably an average probably 400 to 500 clips. So, well, they don't want to see 400 to 500 clips. They want to see, you know, 30. Give us the essence of what they do. So that gets pulled out next. And then presented to, and every game there's one coach who's responsible for the pre-scout, and it's a process of getting them that information, and then they take that 30 to 40 clip package and they reduce it down to, you know, maybe 8, 10, 12 that we're going to actually show the team, show John Cooper, hey, this is what they're doing, and then we form a response to that. And how tactically are we going to deal with these things that they're throwing at us, and what's our game plan going to be? And then that gets delineated to the team via PowerPoint, via video, on screens in the locker room, and also obviously by a team meeting where we sit down and present to the team, this is what you're going to see tonight, this is what they're going to do, this is what our answer is going to be. So that's the bulk of what we do. And during the game, we have a couple of responsibilities where we do the same process. During the game, we're marking everything that happens in the game. Everything from injuries to penalties that take place, and then all the systematic stuff, power plays, penalty kills, breakouts, face-offs, the whole bit. We mark all that stuff because, again, in between periods, you've only got 16-minute intermission.
Mm-hmm.
So Coop's going to want to talk to the team for around the 8-9 minute mark, and then for a couple of minutes just to make some adjustments, and then we want to give them 4 to 5 minutes to mentally get ready, get their gear readjusted to get back on the ice. So there's only about 4 to 5 minutes at the beginning of that intermission that we have to deal with the opponent tactically. So when the coaches come in between periods, everyone's got a computer. It's all connected to a network server. The video that's being captured on my computer gets uploaded to everyone else's computer, and it's already marked. So the power play coach can go right to his computer, sit down, pull it, you know, hit a button, give you power play clips, and then boom, they all come up in zone breakouts, and he can individually look to the adjustments that he feels he needs to make for the power play. Same thing with the PK coach, and then all the other coaches have their area responsibility that they'll come in, and even Coop will get on his computer and look at things that he's made notes of on the bench. Often you'll see the coaching staff making notes on the bench, so whether they're times of things that they saw, or what they'll do is also that they have headsets, so they can radio us and say, hey, do me a favor, mark that clip, which basically means it's probably already being marked anyway, but it's like, make a note on this one for me, so that they can quickly get to that particular incident. When they come back in, they know what the comment they've made to me, and they can, I've inputted into the computer, and they can come in and go to their own individual folder, so to speak, without getting the detail of how the software works. They can go to their own individual folder, so it'll be there for them, and they can look at these specific clips that they radio into us during the course of the game. The other thing we have now the responsibility for, unfortunately, is the whole replay system.
That was my next question.
Yeah. And that's been the bane of my existence, to be honest with you. But so obviously fans are now aware that challenges can happen. It's only two situations that we can challenge, offsides and goaltender interference.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably will get in trouble for saying this from the league, depending on who can hear this.
They don't listen to us. Yeah, we're not that important.
Don't ask me about goaltender interference because I have no understanding of it. It's such a nebulous, subjective thing that it's really been frustrating as we've watched what they told us was goaltender interference at the beginning a couple of years ago morph into what it is now without letting us know along the way. It's just changed. I think it was the concept was originally pretty defined.
Yeah.
Okay, that's no goaltender interference. Now I'm finding they're like, I think they, because they want goals, they're making it more difficult to win that challenge at the expense of video coaches who are challenging and finding out that, no, that's, you know what, we decided that's no longer goaltender interference. And yeah, I'm going to get in trouble for that, but whatever.
Nah.
And then offsides is obviously, you know, what is what it is. That one you can challenge. It's the second thing you can challenge, but that comes at a cost. If you get it wrong, they now penalize you for challenging. I think they felt after the first year, I don't remember if they introduced it second year or third year, I think they felt that there was too many false challenges, unnecessary challenges. So now they're penalizing us for making that challenge and getting it wrong. So that one we have to be very, 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 very careful on. That one we can't have an internal rule unless we've got 100% clear evidence of an offside. We aren't going to challenge for the fear of getting scored on, losing the challenge, going on the PK, and then getting scored on again. So it's a two-goal potential swing. That's something that that could be the difference in a game, obviously, because depending, there's not a lot of goals compared to other sports scored in hockey. So you don't want to give a team a two-goal swing. You already scored on. Now to challenge on an offside and get it wrong and put them on the power play where they could score again could be damaging. So that one we try to be very, 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 very careful on, and we only make that call if we've got 100% evidence of an offside. And sometimes you can't tell. There's cameras on the blue line that allow us to see down the line. What's ironic about it is that's where the referees also tend to stand.
Yeah.
So often we get blocked out by the backs of a referee, but it also could be the skate of a player too. So often, like, to be honest with you, the Kucha's goal last night, when we looked at it, now we scored, so obviously we're not going to challenge the goal that we score, but and you can't, but we're looking to see if it's offside not Kucha's goal, Stammer's goal, where Kuch got the puck at the blue line. It was Stammer scored the goal. I misspoke there. Last night, it looks like Kuch was offside last night. And I told him this after the game, because I think he was offside on Stammer's goal. And he goes, I was wondering, he goes, I thought I was too. Mm. But you can't tell because the puck is blocked out by his skate. Mm-hmm. He's right up against the boards. The puck is between the boards and his skate. And you, intuitively, as it enters his zone, it looks like his skate is ahead the whole way, depending on the speed. But when they actually get to the blue line, you can't tell. So, obviously, San Jose did not challenge that last night. And I'm guessing they saw the same thing that we did. It looks like it might be offside, but we can't see the puck for sure in terms of where it is compared to the skates on the backside, and they didn't challenge that. And it makes sense, because if they do challenge and they get it wrong, it puts a very good power play back on the ice, and we could score again, and that could be the difference in the game. So that's the second part of what we do on a game night, so to speak. So I think I covered the bulk of what our responsibilities are. So, but then in terms of players, yes, players get their shifts. We have the ability to put those on the cloud and for them to view it. We can send it directly to their phones or iPads and all that stuff. And, some players like to look at their shifts. Some players don't want to look at their shifts. But, yes, every player who wants it, because they got access through computer systems that are both in the office and right to their phones or iPads, we can send all that stuff to them directly.
So we're speaking with Nigel Kerwin, video coach for the team, one of the two video coaches for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So do you sleep at all? It sounds like you just don't sleep.
Sleep is tough.
You sleep once the season's over.
Yeah, we have the week off, so I'm going to sleep this week. And
good.
Then, you sleep in the off season, and I guess when you're dead. But we sleep. You get you. It's It's one of those things. Here's the thing. We make it a little difficult on ourselves, too, because after a long day of working all day and then you have games at night, you need a little bit of decompressed time. So, mm-hmm. We often sit later than we probably should and have a beer and reflect on what happened in the game. So I could get to bed earlier times if I wanted to, but I don't. but, yeah, sleep's a commodity. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
I also find that I get more done at home sometimes when there's no one around me.
Oh, sure.
When I get in the office, players are saying, hey, I need this, I want this. Coach is saying, hey, can you get me this, I need this. And I find it hard to kind of get on task sometimes mm-hmm. in the office because I'm getting pulled in so many directions. Mm-hmm. So something that I like to do where sleep is it comes at the cost of sleep is I like to come home, open up my laptop, put Dateline on the background.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm a big Dateline fan.
Yes.
And I like to have those, I have those murder mysteries I'm going on in the background, and I try to do my work at home late at night, or I get up super early in the morning before I get to the office, and I may watch a hockey game doing that. Mm. I find the time goes by faster when I've got something else going on in the background, and there's no one pulling at me. So that's where another area where I choose to lose sleep, and then makes my day a little bit longer.
So you've been with the team for a really long time. I'm not going to say the years. I'm not going to do it. But so you've seen a lot of different teams come through that locker room, a lot of different players. You were around the team when they won the Stanley Cup. What do you see any similarities with the kind of culture that this team has or, just kind of the dominance that they've shown over the league this season that has impressed you or surprised you? Or are you just like, we know it's there. We're just waiting for, the end result?
Well, you certainly, yes, to answer your question, do I see similarities between this team and the 04 team? Sure. This is a pretty tight-knit group. It's well-coached. There's a lot of talent. You've got goaltending. You've got a good defensive score, and you've got scoring up front and guys that can, obviously put pucks in nets. So you have all the elements that you need to win the Stanley Cup, and obviously we've had a very successful season in 04. We had a similar run in terms of wins and versus losses. It came more on the back half of the season, where this one's come so far in the front half of the season, and hopefully it stays that way all season long. But the 0-4 team, while it had a great start, it did have a big lull in the middle, and then it dominated. That team dominated the rest of the season with very few losses. So similar in that regard. That being said, and this is probably me just making sure I don't jinx anything.
Please don't. I'm a little superstitious as well.
Yeah, you just don't know. Yes, this team has the ingredients to be successful and make a deep playoff run and compete and challenge for the Stanley Cup. But you have to stay healthy. Luck plays a huge role in winning cups. And, we were lucky that year in the regards of we were healthy. We didn't get too many major injuries. Everything kind of held together in that regard, and that plays a significant part of the equation. This team is good. It certainly can compete for one. Anything can happen in the playoffs. You've seen number one teams get knocked out in the first round, and you've seen, six seeds and eight seeds win Stanley Cups. So it gets tighter. It gets harder. The ice shrinks. There's less room. And we have to figure out how to manage that now. That's been our problem, I think, in the past, when we've made these deep runs, our scoring, our ability to put the puck in the net has somewhat vanished as we got closer and closer to the end and the games got a little tighter. So that's something that we're really kind of focused on now, is making sure that we can, as because we're getting everyone's A games. Mm-hmm. We show up to play and everyone's going, damn, it's Tampa Bay. We've got to we got to make sure we're ready to go. So we're getting all the team's A games. Plus, at this point, we're also getting we're in a situation where teams are competing for those last playoff spots and making sure they're in a position to get themselves in. Mm-hmm. So it's a good test for us right now. Because it's going to get worse than that when we get to the playoffs. So for us right now, this is a very important time to make sure that we're figuring out how to deal with these tighter games, these A games we're getting from everybody, and there's not a lot of room to obviously maneuver out there. It's going to be like that in the playoffs, and we need to manage that now and understand it now so that we can deal with it when the playoffs come.
All right, so our final question before we let you go, and we really appreciate you joining us, is so you watch all these games from other teams to prepare. You probably watched more from other teams than anybody, that's, just sitting at home watching the NHL, center ice package. Who do you think could be the Lightning's biggest hurdle come late season?
Ooh. Well, I'll pick teams that are in our conference, because obviously the Western Conference, you only see them if you get to the final.
But sure.
I think right now you got to look at Toronto as a threat to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Islanders are suddenly found their game with a coach that just came off a Stanley Cup win. They're going to be there. They're a big, heavy team that can skate and play a disciplined style that we have to be certainly cognizant of. So I would say right now Toronto is probably our closest threat.
Mm-hmm.
They're in our division. They're obviously a rival of ours. They're competing. They're on our heels. They just beat us the other night. Probably should have beaten us at home earlier in the year. We found a way to win a game that we didn't probably deserve. Mm-hmm. That being said, good teams do that. And we did that in 04. But I say that the biggest threat to us now and the team that we need to keep an eye on and be aware of is the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, Nigel, I know I learned a lot of kind of what you do behind the scenes. Thank you so much for joining us, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you very much. No, I appreciate you guys having me on, and obviously we appreciate your support. So thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
So super cool having on Nigel Kerwin in the last segment. Video coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Who knew he started out as like a ticket sales guy and marketing?
I mean, I expected him to say like, oh, I started as an intern.
Right.
No, I started peddling tickets when the team was over at the fairground.
Yeah, I mean, really, with the team from the inception.
It's amazing.
And the story about Terry Crisp coming into his office and being like, hey, we want to make you our video coach. He thought he was joking, threw him out of his office. I think that's hysterical.
I know.
I love this kind of like history with these guys. Like, because I feel like we have a lot of guys mm-hmm. that are with the team, whether they're in marketing or sales or tickets or in arena hosts, and they've been with the team for a very long time, the training staff.
Right.
And I think that's super cool because we get to hear about how teams have evolved and changed and how they've evolved and changed and, you know, how their jobs have evolved and changed, the information about how they're the ones who, you know, with the goaltender interference and the offsides, like they're the ones who have to pull that stuff immediately.
Yeah. I mean, you guys have to think about it. CT were talking and I were talking about during the break, how fast they have to make that call, not on the goaltender interference so much, but on the offsides call,
yeah,
that's got to be fast.
Yeah.
I mean, they have got to be on top of it.
Yeah.
And in today's game, as fast as skaters are, look at Braden Point and yeah. Joseph. Let's yeah. just look at Matthew Joseph and them alone. I mean, it's got to be every time they're coming up to the blue line, you have to be like, somebody get the binoculars and look real close. Because, I mean, you know, it's got to be something that's always there.
Right.
You know, maybe you don't worry about it so much like a Braden Coburn. And I'm not, nothing against that. I'm just saying compared, listen, it's
right.
not a shock that Braden Coburn, I mean, that, you know, Point is so fast.
Right.
So, but it's got to be certain things that you look at, or even on the other team.
Yeah.
You know, a Patrick Kane or
Connor McDavid.
Connor McDavid. You have to,
I'd be sweating anytime those guys are in town and I've got to keep an eye on the blue line.
But to make that 100%
yeah.
determination as fast, that's yeah. amazing.
And it was really interesting because it's something I've wondered, because I sit kind of right where the blue line is.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that referees are standing right there. Linesmen are standing right there. So, yes, we have a camera that shoots down the blue line, but maybe we should think about maybe moving those guys from that point?
No, because it's their call to make. So they've got to be on the blue line.
I guess.
But maybe they can move the camera above. Like
maybe,
above,
maybe.
Above.
But then that ruins the angle.
Get a wide shot or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. A panorama.
Or maybe, kind of like tennis, you put the referees on a lift above the glass, and
they're
that's
zooming.
Where they sit. Yeah,
they're just zooming
or
back
like,
and forth.
You know, the cameras they have at football games, where
Boomer,
they're like
the Booger McFarlane camera that they used to have. Yeah,
like,
sure.
Where it's just like there are tethers on each sides of the arena.
See,
and they just sit in a chair and they're kind of just pushed along. That's what's coming.
That's next. I
Gary
guess.
Bettman. We're going to put these guys on tethers.
But you would think that it is kind of a weird thing to say, no, now you can review it.
Yeah.
Can we?
Can we?
You know, like Nigel said, I mean, they stand right there. They're often blocking it.
Right.
You can't really make 100% determination.
And now if they don't get the challenge, they are penalized. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's a little nerve-wracking. I'm nervous. I'm starting to sweat just thinking about it.
And I know he thinks he's going to get in trouble, and I don't think he will. But no. I have to say, I agree with him.
I think we all have that frustration.
It's
what is goaltender
interference?
That's
got to be interference. Oh, it's not. Oh, but that is? What are we doing here?
What you said it was similar to something in football. Was it pass interference or something?
Oh, yeah. It's like pass interference where it's like, oh, he put his hand, but he did it within a millimeter of his head being at this angle. And it's like, but they won't do, you know, they don't make it again when they're. It's just like he said, there was a definitive, this is goaltender interference.
Right.
And then it's, but this was not goaltender interference. And unfortunately, it's important because we saw Tuukka Rask the other night leave with a concussion.
Yeah.
You don't see goalies leave with a concussion because he got plowed into.
Yeah.
So I get you want it to be safe. Just make it black and white.
Yeah.
I wish there was a way.
Yeah.
You know, but it used to be if you skate out, if you go beyond this point, it's not the goalie. I mean,
right.
Then it's not interference because you put yourself out there. But now it's like,
Right. But they make the change and it's black and white. Well, there's going to be something where it's like, well, that should have been it too, but it doesn't fall within the parameters.
Yeah.
So then we're back to where we started. It's just one of those things where it's a human error. It's a human game. It's fast, you know, and they're just trying to, and wow, I can't believe I'm defending officials and wow. But it's one of those things where it's like, you just got to go with it. Kind of like the non-delay of game call that happened.
Didn't happen. For Nigel and the other video coach, his name completely escapes me right now. How frustrating
it's
is gotta that?
Be
because
maddening.
You've got to be like, this is goaltender? Because you've got to pull all that. Like you said, they got to mark all those things.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know. Who do we give this to? What is it? Is it good?
And then I'm sure it's difficult because players are like, all right, well, what is and what isn't goaltender interference? So I can make sure that I don't do that. And it's like, well, this one was called for goaltender, but this one wasn't.
It's
tough.
It's a shame. But I do understand, and they're doing the best they can, I think, in the sport to make it, like he said, more goals and more exciting. And it is.
It is.
It's working. But to what down, you know, what cost?
Right.
And
when
it's confusing and the guys don't know, because I think we've come to a point in 2019 to where nobody is intentionally, even the guy that ran into Tuukka Rask was like, whoops.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of unavoidable type of thing. But I don't think anybody is trying to run into them. Not like when Bobby Taylor played. Maybe then it was, you know, let's try and take him out. I don't.
A certain player who plays for Boston who likes to lick people.
Ugh.
Maybe,
gross.
You know, there might be one or two guys in the league that, you know.
One or two.
They're a little dangerous.
But I don't think it's as
when Braden
acceptable.
Point's going to the net or Matthew Joseph's going to the net, they're not looking to maim or harm anybody.
No,
just the game is fast. Things happen.
And
they're
really
wearing
fast.
Freaking blades on their feet. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that's going to happen. Like, just kind of like, when you step out on the ice to play a game, you know that, you know, you could probably get hurt that game.
Mm-hmm.
You just never know.
Yeah.
You know?
But frustrating, I can see for him for sure. And amazing what they do.
I was so intrigued.
I was just fascinated.
I hope you guys enjoyed
that
interview. And if there's anybody on the management side, training staff, anybody kind of that you want us to try to get on the show, please tweet at us at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. We've had Rob Kennedy on, who's the assistant athletic equipment guy. Now we've had Nigel Kerwin, video coach, one of the two video coaches for the Tampa Bay Lightning on. And I find that I learned so much by getting to talk to these gentlemen who see a different side of the team, and we kind of, you don't see all the stuff that they have to do during a game and in preparation of a game that really kind of makes it possible to see a hockey game and to see your team win. And they're all essential employees and essential pieces of the puzzle that creates a championship team.
Yeah. And in a way, Nigel's kind of like a historian.
Yeah, he's seen a lot. And he, you know, didn't want us to say how many years, but he's seen a lot. And so to kind of get that perspective is super interesting.
Very.
So now they get a couple days off, thank goodness. They've been traveling a lot. A couple of our guys don't get as long as a break, but still a nice little break for them, too.
Yeah.
Stamkos, Kucherov, and Vasilevsky all heading to San Jose for the NHL All-Star Game. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting having it here last season. It was the first time I've ever seen one. I think they're super fun for the fans. I think you get to see a personality of your players that you don't necessarily get to see on a normal game day. So I think it's fun. Let's talk about the docket of events that are going to go on that you can watch on television. The NHL All-Star Skills, that'll be Friday night.
I love it. It's my favorite. You know, since I can't have the liquored up draft anymore. So now, you know, by the way, you know how I cannot let that go?
Yeah, I know.
How many years did they do that? Like two? I just can't let it go.
It's your favorite thing.
It's my favorite thing. But I love the skills. They're just so fun.
They're so much fun.
So much fun.
And that's going to be Friday night, January 25th. You can catch that at 9 p.m. Eastern on NBCSN. So I always make sure. I never miss that. Now, if you remember, last year, the festivities were Saturday and Sunday mm-hmm. afternoon. This is a couple days earlier. So I kind of like this a little bit for them.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I wonder if it's just because the time, you know, because they're on the West Coast and there's a time change. And mm-hmm. so you kind of have to alter the way you do things a little bit.
Yeah, no, I like it. I like the Friday, Saturday thing. So we've got that. And then the All-Star Game is Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern on NBC. So I think that's going to be fun. They just announced, I know, Dory, you're super excited. Bebe Rexha is going to be the headlining entertainment at the second intermission. Yeah, second intermission presented by Ticketmaster.
I don't know who this person is.
Okay. Does she? She's a singer. She's blonde.
Okay, that's really...
I'm trying to have to not like sing a song so that you recognize it. She's got a song called I'm a Mess, which I find very catchy. She also did the song with Florida Georgia Line, Meant to Be.
I don't know
most
who that
recently.
Is. Oh, wait, I do know who they are.
Yeah. Look, she's I've seen her at a bunch of events. She's super entertaining. Last year we had Kid Rock.
I still don't understand that. But that's okay. That's okay. I don't know how they I just want to know how they pick these people. Like, I know this is a weird thing to say, but to me, like, and maybe because Fall Out Boy are huge hockey fans.
Yeah.
They always seem to be like, to me, they make sense.
Right.
Like they did Nashville.
Yes.
And
I think they did something.
And they did something else.
With the Capitals or something in the Stanley Cup Finals or something.
And they had the, you know, their
they've
song,
done stuff for.
I Know What You Did in the Dark. Yeah.
Yeah, they've done stuff for the Golden Knights. They're everywhere. But they're big hockey fans.
Huge hockey fans. So to me, like, I feel like maybe everybody can get a Fall Out Boy concert every year and they just.
They're just the house band for the NHL.
I never thought about that.
House band for the NHL. So Bebe Rexha, and so if you remember last year, we had, was it Flo Rida who performed? I know. Flo Rida who performed as the players were announced.
Yeah.
So they're going to announce more performers leading up to it. There
Maybe
were a couple
Fall
country.
Out Boy will be there.
Yeah, they had a couple country stars sing the national anthems last year. Mm-hmm. Lindsay L sang the Canadian national anthem, and Brett Young sang the our national anthem before the game. So you know they're going to be announcing more people as it gets closer. Going to be really interesting though. But you know if you're going to be at Gasparilla during the day on Saturday, make sure you set your DVR for that night because it's not the game is not Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It's Saturday. So just
I like the new format too. We talked about this before that it took a minute to get used to
the 3-on-3.
Yeah, it took a minute, like the little round robin type of thing. But yeah. I really like it. I think it makes it I think in my opinion a little more interesting.
Well, yeah, and you know the overtimes now have gone to 3-on-3, mm-hmm. and I find those to
it.
Be
I'm used to it. Yeah,
entertaining. I feel like if you get too many of those, like okay, so they're all stars, like they're all the best players on their team,
right?
So if you get 5-on-5, I feel like there are too many bodies out there.
Okay.
Not like a regular game.
Okay.
Because these are all the best players uh-huh. in the league That's 10 guys on the, I feel like it's too much.
Yeah.
So I like where there's a little bit more open ice. So you can see the speed of Nikita Kucherov and you can see the speed of like a Jeff Skinner or Connor McDavid. Mm-hmm. You can see that speed because there's a little bit more open ice and more room for them to play with. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes it interesting.
You can see their skills a little more.
And I feel like the goaltenders have more of an opportunity to maybe see the pucks that are coming at them.
Yeah. Because listen,
let's stop them.
Exactly. Let's just say, like in the past, these scores have been kind of a little goofy. I mean, 15 to 13.
And we know that, okay.
I get it.
There's $1 million on the line for the winning team. Mm-hmm. I get it. So that's cool. Excuse me. But the guys aren't going out there. They're not hitting, because they don't want to get injured.
Of course not.
Their teams don't want them to go play, an exhibition.
They don't dislike each other.
No, that's something you really get to see in the skills competition.
The camaraderie.
And I love that. A lot of these guys grew up playing with each other.
Or against each other.
So their history goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to see, but none of these guys want to get injured. So I feel like when there's more open ice, there's less opportunity for collision. You get to see the faster players and the more skilled players, like the Nikita Kucherov goal that he did last All-Star game where it was the fake out. I mean, you wouldn't have been able to. I don't think you would have seen that in a 5-on-5.
Yes. Well, we've seen it.
We've seen it, but I don't think you would have been able to see that in a 5-on-5. There wouldn't have been as much open ice.
Yeah.
And it gives the goaltenders more of an opportunity to like actually look like all-star goaltenders instead of being scored on 15 times.
Exactly.
So I think they did a great service to this format by making that adjustment. We weren't really sure.
We weren't. We were really very much like, I don't know how this is going to go.
And you were still sour about the no drunk draft.
I know. And then afterwards, we talked about it a couple seasons ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know how I feel about it. But now that we've kind of gotten into it, I'm like, I do like it.
It was the right move.
I believe it was.
Yeah.
It
was the right move because I really enjoy seeing that. It used to be, I can't miss the all-star the skills.
Mm-hmm.
I could take or leave the game. Now it's like appointment viewing for both.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's so interesting. And how many times do you get to see the best players in the league only play a 3-on-3? There aren't a lot of overtimes, that we get to see, which I'm happy about. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like games are more decisive this season than ever.
Yeah.
So I enjoy getting to see that kind of man-on-man play.
Okay. Yeah, that's... I know what you're saying.
Do you get what I'm saying?
I do. And like you said, these are the best of the best. So
yeah.
You get to really see them
heightened sensitivity to like seeing how amazing these players are.
Yeah.
Because there's so many to watch during a regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I don't know. I really enjoy it. And we'll see how this Friday night, Saturday thing's going to go. Because in the,
Saturday, Sunday schedule before.
Yeah.
And I like it.
I think this is going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
I like it.
We'll have to see.
And I kind of hope that, I felt like we had a great delegation of Lightning players and representatives last year when it was here. But I feel like I want to see our guys really kick some butt this weekend.
I do too. I do wish that Braden Point would have gotten the vote.
I would have loved to have seen the rematch of Connor McDavid, Braden Point, fastest skater.
And I kind of a little bit deep down feel a little saddened that Hedman didn't make it. But at the same time,
I want these guys to rest.
And he did. I wanted to say this earlier, and I have to say it. He was that goal that he scored against Toronto is absolutely amazing.
And he had a goal against San Jose the other night, too, that was fan-freaking-tastic.
So we know that he was out earlier this year, mm-hmm. I think he's always, listen, it's like the guy from the New York Right paper said, this is the perennial finalist for the next 10 years for the Norris Trophy. We're really seeing this kid. Really,
he's not a kid anymore.
He's not a kid, I know, but he
will always be a kid to us.
Yeah, and to see him come into his own, and to see these, he's a defenseman and he does it darn good.
Mm-hmm.
But to see him take these one timer shots that are like, yeah,
I got this.
So I'm kind of sad.
Hey,
Braden
Point,
going.
Go sit down. I got this.
I'm sad that he's not going to be there, but at the same time, I'm glad he gets the rest.
Absolutely.
I'm
glad Braden Point gets the rest. I think Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos and Andrei Vasilevsky, quite frankly, are guys who feed off of the constant grind.
I was about to say that.
So I feel like there are some players who the rest really benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there are certain players where they want to keep grinding. They want to keep playing. I would feel like Nikita Kucherov would be one of those guys. Even if he wasn't going to the All-Star festivities, he'd be on the ice every day.
I think so.
Getting a workout in, working on a shot.
And when you look at the captain, our captain, Steve Stamkos, he doesn't get a rip break. He's going to push through it.
Right.
And it kind of makes the younger guys, maybe the Josephs and the Chernecks and stuff that are I'm tired. I'm getting hurt. They look at a guy that's their captain that's doesn't get a break.
No, he's the face of the franchise.
And I think it's something maybe, not like they're like, look at Steven Sam. Nobody's saying that.
No.
But something for them to say,
they feed off
my
of it.
Leader didn't complain. My leader didn't get time off. And there he is, still being awesome.
Yep.
As a leader and as a player. So I think there's a little bit of, I don't know, I think in a way I tend to think of Steve Stamkos as a different, on a different level
he's
of a
different
hockey
animal.
Player. Yeah, like he's not the same mentally or his attitude or his leadership or his skill.
He's one of those guys where he leads by example. I don't feel like he says a lot.
He doesn't. And I feel he's almost like a superhuman type of person.
Well, I feel like there are a couple guys on our team that are superhuman.
That I put that on him, but I do kind of feel like he's not the same.
Right.
He's not your... Right. He's different. In a good way. And my hand is really high above my head, but they can't see that. But I'm kind of putting him way up there as far as...
Yes, as far as your arm can reach. One last thing before we go. I think when the game was here last year, when the festivities were in Tampa Bay... I was at all the festivities, but I DVR'd them all because I wanted to hear what the commentators were saying. We can't really hear all of that in the arena as it's happening.
Sure.
We were given respect as a team. This year, we're the closest team to us is sometimes double digits away from us in the standings.
Yeah.
Depending on when you look at the standings,
we
could be double digits ahead of the second team in the NHL. I will be very interested to hear the kind of comments that are made by commentators, not the respect. I feel like we're getting the respect. I feel like we have received more respect than we have received in other seasons.
Yeah.
But when all of these amazing players are in one room together, will we still receive that kind of respect, or will it be like, oh, all these people are amazing and then these guys from Tampa are good too?
So I just want to say before we take a break, because everybody's
at the break. We're done.
Break. 76 points for the Lightning, the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the New York Islanders are at 60, so that's 16 points in our own conference. And then when we go down, Calgary is at 69 points because they've had a real nice run there. So they're 7 points now behind us, but it's been as much as 12. But as far as the Eastern Conference, which is really what we need to focus on because we can't look ahead to Calgary. 16 points going into 16.
Are you doing the math right?
Listen, girl, it is 16 points.
I have
She's
to look
not,
at it.
It's
I'm not
so
believing.
Unbelievable. It's 16 points ahead.
That's not real.
It doesn't seem real. It looks photoshopped, but I don't think the NHL is photoshopping their standings. So it's mind blowing.
That's impressive.
It's mind blowing, and they're definitely ahead of points than they were last year when they were also playing mind blowing.
Yeah.
So this team is team is
I'm
not
starting to
human.
Itch. You're starting to make me nervous. I'm starting to itch. Okay, we gotta go. All right, we will catch you next week. Enjoy the NHL All Star festivities. We'd love to hear your thoughts on them. You can tweet us at Game Miz with a Z Conduct while you're watching the skills competition and the game. Please tweet at us. Let us know your thoughts, and we can talk about them on our next show.
Please.
Well, don't like beg.
Us. Talk to us.
We would love to get your input. So again, at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to our guest, Nigel Kerwin, video coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com.
Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.